Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Right now. Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational programming. This is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host and facilitator. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. Thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight, and I'm so glad that our international community is joining us on tonight's broadcast. We've got a lot to cover in these next 60 minutes, so please, please stay with us. Confine your comments to 15 seconds or less, and God bless you. We're going to go right now and bring in the international minister himself, Pastor Castile Rowe. Pastor Rowe, we welcome you, and we're glad to have you. And we're going to ask you to say a brief prayer to welcome God into our program tonight.
Well, I just want to say good evening to everyone, depending upon what time zone that you are in, and we just want to say just welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, it's once again that we come to you, Lord. And as we come in your presence, Lord, we pray that you would give us an open mind, Lord, that we can hear and learn what the Spirit is saying to our global audience and speaking to our wonderful leader, Dr. Jesse Walker. And we thank you, Lord, for those that have been so faithful in being on these on this Blog Talk Radio Show. And bless us, Lord, and those of us that have an ear, let us hear what you are saying and how we should deal with different situations. We thank you once again, Lord, to be on the show. We thank you, Lord, for the leader that you have given us. A leader of leaders that you have given us. And we just thank you so much for him and all of the other leaders and those that are attending this wonderful Blog Talk Radio Show. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Pastor Rowe. We got a lot to cover tonight, you all. We're going to go ahead and welcome Miss Jay to tonight's program. And then while she's coming on, she's going to also give you all our disclaimer. Ms. Jay, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. And I hope everyone is ready for another stimulating show tonight. So let me give you the disclaimer. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you and have a great show tonight.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Ms. Jay. We certainly appreciate your comments and your thoughts.
Okay.
We're going to go ahead and welcome some more of our guests tonight. Let's go ahead and welcome in Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm so looking forward to tonight's topic. Very interesting.
Okay, let's go ahead and welcome the Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, thank you for having us. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, everybody. So let's get it going.
All right. And then we have Shield of Faith. Shield of Faith, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, and I just want to congratulate you, Dr. Walker, on finishing your training to get certified in anger management. Congratulations on enduring that training for the past couple of days. And I just want to encourage everybody, if you have not read Dr. Walker's book, After the Passion, Now What?, go on the website, grab some copies, give it to your friends, your children, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. It's a great read, and you'll really enjoy it. So I look forward to the topic tonight as well. Let's see who gets on whose nerve.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Shield of Faith. Let's go ahead and at this time welcome, we're going to go ahead and welcome Sparkles. Sparkles, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you on board.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. I look forward to the topic this evening.
All right, excellent. We've got noise in someone's background. We're going to ask if you kindly mute yourself if you're not speaking. Let's go ahead and welcome Marjorie Cross to tonight's broadcast. And Ms. Cross, when you come on, go ahead. She's one of our sponsors. Go ahead and make your commercial at this time, please.
Okay. Good evening, Dr. Walker, Pastor Roland, and all your co-hosts and everyone on the line. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross. I'm a health consultant, health and wellness consultant with two of the most outstanding companies. And I would like to invite you to go to my website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. We have a lot of health products that may be able to help you with any health condition. Okay, and please call me at 786-319-7223. Again, my number is 786-319-7223. And again, my website is betteryourself.info. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
God bless you all as well. So let's go here. Pastor Roll, I want to begin with you tonight. Tonight's topic, do we agitate God's spirit or his heart in our sinful lifestyles? So let's begin, first of all, with look at the word agitate or get on someone's nerve. How would you define the word agitate, Pastor Roll, quickly?
Well, agitate is something, you know, that's disturbing to a person's spirit. You know, and we understand our Lord and Savior, God, you know, he has a perfect Holy Spirit. And anything that come against that spirit, it can cause an agitation or disturbance within that person. Whether it's from on high or in relationships, whatever.
Okay, so, Pastor, while I've got you here, we say that God is omniscient. Omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. So, Pastor Ro, is it fair to say that iniquity was found in the devil's heart? Didn't God know that because he created the devil? Your thoughts on that quickly.
Well, yes, he gave us the spirit, you know, the power of choice. And only not only is he omniscient, all-knowing, but he's sovereign. That means God has the ability. He doesn't have to get opinions from nobody, bounce things off for others. He's sovereign. He does what he desires to do, regardless of what other things. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We're so glad that you all are all here tonight. Demas Lee, I want to bring you in here. So God being not only omniscient, all-knowing, he's omnipotent. He's great. He's powerful. And so he's everywhere at the same time, omnipresent. So, Demon Slayer, that being the case, then how be it that when he asked the question that Adam and Eve agitated him because of their sinfulness of the act that they committed? So how is it that God is omnipresent? How is it that he was not there when he asked the question, Adam, where art thou?
That's a good question. I'm going to tell you, since he knows everything, what you're going to do and where your heart at and your sinful nature, I guess that's why he's got grace enough for you to try to get yourself together. You know, then I think the only way that you can do that is to search for him and search for his word and try to know more about him, and you'll start to a seed. The things in your life will start to change, and you'll start to be more like God.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Demon Slayer. You're listening live to your one-hour inspirational programming, a component of the Dr. Jess Walker Show. All right, we're live here now, and let me go right now to Sparkles. Sparkles, God, do we agitate God? Do we get on his nerves with our sinful lifestyles? What do you think? And then we're going to go to Dee Dee in a moment, Darren Dee Dee, as well as Pastor Roll, and we're going to look for scripture that supports this. Sparkles, right now we're asking you this specific question. Do we agitate God? Do we get on his nerves with our sinful lifestyle? And if so, how?
We do. I don't know if I would say agitate, but we do break his heart, I believe, I feel, when we sin and do what he doesn't want us to do, and all stuff that does grieve him. In our lifestyles, in our actions, in our speech. That's my thought.
Okay, your background sounds like you're in a tunnel. I'm just point of reference there, perhaps. A little bit better. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome Sir Ben to tonight's broadcast. Sir Ben, thank you for joining us this evening. It's good to have you.
Good evening and happy Friday. I'm glad to be a part of you.
All right, excellent, excellent. Again, we've got noise in people's background. If you would be so kind, if you're not speaking, please be so kind to mute your phone. We've got a lot to cover, and we're already a quarter of the way through tonight's broadcast. All right, so we go to you now. Let's go here now. Shield of Faith, I want to ask you, in your opinion, the word agitate, Sparkles just say that she wouldn't say agitate, but what else, I mean, could we use that as a metaphor, agitate, get on God's nerves, or does God even have nerves?
I mean, I feel like, you know, he's our Heavenly Father, and sometimes our children that we love dearly get on our nerves. And we're disappointed at different times. So I'm sure he is disappointed. I guess I would use the word disappointed in our lifestyle because he does love us so much. You know, we choose the wrong thing, just like, you know, we try to put him in human terms, in our terms, you know, the way we think of getting on your nerves or things like that. And you can't put God, you know, you can't put him in a box like, you know, like we try to. And we try to put him, you know, in what we think. But I'm sure there are times that we do disappoint him by our sinful lifestyle.
Okay, so Shield of Faith, while I've got you here, and if you all want to speak to this issue tonight, the phone lines are filling up already quickly here. You can press 1 on your dial, and we ask that you confine your comments to 15, 20 seconds so that we can get to everybody, as many callers as we possibly can. Please respect that time frame. Shield of Faith, while I've got you on here, and forgive me, you all, for talking so fast, but the show goes so quickly that we got to get so much in, and the producers are always threatening me that we've got to cover all of this stuff. So, Sheila Faye, while I've got you here, I've got to ask this question. I mean, when God created us, having been that he's omniscient, all-knowing, didn't he know that Adam and Eve would mess up?
Yeah, he did know.
Okay, so was there, and is it reasonable to say that there was an expectation that God expected us to be perfect, or he just was trying us by giving us free will instead of making us robots?
Yeah, I mean, he did give us free will because he didn't want us to be a robot. He did know that we would mess up. He did give us choices. And when you ask the question, you know, when he said, Adam, where art thou? Of course he knew where he was, but he wanted a response to see how he would respond, you know, just like we do with our children sometimes. You know, we know where they are, what they're doing, but we want to see how they're going to respond and how they're going to communicate based on their sin or their actions.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We've got a lot to cover tonight. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. Let's bring you in here. Sir Ben, give your thoughts on this here. Sir Ben, in 20 seconds or less, if you possibly can, you know, do we agitate God or not? Because, I mean, it grieved him to his heart. It repented him to his heart that he had made man. Because we're just so, I mean, you know, we just get out of control. So does that mean that we do? There's a possibility that we grieve him, a possibility that we get on his nerves, you know, because of our sinful ways, Sodom and Gomorrah?
Well, it's, listen, when God said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, that would mean don't be disobedient to what I'm telling you. So if you're going to be disobedient to what I'm telling you, then that means you're aggravating and agitating that which I had given you. That's why he gives us all kinds of means of escape. In the last 5 seconds, we have multiple ways to not make God agitated. We have multiple ways to always come back from what we've done wrong. He's given us a complete 360-degree turnaround that we can utilize that's available to us if we are just obedient to what we know. The reason he was testing Adam was to see where Adam's heart really was. Is he going to be truthful about what he was, or is he going to kind of cower away and give some lackadaisical answer thinking that God wouldn't know? So we got to be deliberate about how we operate in God and how we speak to God. And when he asks us a question, we got to answer with authority that he's given us to say, hey, God, I know you know already. So what I'm telling you is not new. I'm just showing you that I have a heart like David to be able to quickly say, I'm sorry, forgive me, and I repent.
Okay, but Sir Ben, isn't it possible that God knew that Adam and Eve would mess up, and that's why he had a plan of salvation in place? Couldn't he have just made people perfect, or couldn't he have made another spouse for Adam, or what?
Well, okay, so remember that we are not the only people. There's other worlds and other nations and other beings that are watching us. There's other angels that are actually watching what we're doing. They're mesmerized and marvel at what he's created because we were made, or Adam was made in the likeness of God. So they see that and they look and they marvel. So what I'm saying is that if God would have just made something else or created something else, then the whole premise of what happened in heaven when Satan was able to convince a third of the angels to fall would have been a different response now, because they were saying, see, I told you. See, he's not a God that really allows us to make our own choices. So some things are directed at God to make God, but Satan trying to make God seem like he's not really truthful about what he was. So he already knew that from Adam and Eve, there would be great names that would come from that. There were great tribes, the tribe of Benjamin. There would be great leaders. There were great people, Enoch. There were great perfecting people that would come from the seed of Adam and Eve. And so that's what he was concentrating on. Even today, we have great people who he has perfected and is still perfecting to be great leaders to come out of this and say, no matter what is happening, I'm going to stand steadfast with the Father.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We've still got a lot to cover you all in there, already sending me innuendos here. Luke, we're going to go ahead and welcome at this time Pastor E. Todd Stubblefield. This is his first time listening to us, and he was, in fact, in training with me for the past 2 days as well. We want to go ahead and welcome Pastor Todd to tonight's broadcast. Pastor Todd, welcome to this format.
Good evening. How you doing, Dr. Walker?
We're doing just great, Pastor Todd. Thank you for joining us. Pastor Todd,
yeah.
Do you think that we get on God's nerves, or does God have nerves?
Absolutely, we get on God's nerves, man. And people don't like to hear that part, but that's just the truth, because, you know, and we all know on this line, man, that if it had not been for the blood of Christ Jesus spread on the mercy seat, we all would still be in the wrath of God. And so because we've accepted him as Lord and Savior, because of that blood that was shed on the mercy seat, we are seen now and protected by that. But here's the answer to that from my personal perspective. Yes, we grieve God, because what most people don't realize is up into Genesis chapter 6, before God makes that statement that he is grieved, the Holy Spirit is still within man. So man grieved God while he had God's Spirit still dwelling in him up to chapter 6 of Genesis. Then man still will grieve God today when we got the Holy Spirit back, when Jesus sends forth the promise saying that I must go. It's to your benefit that I leave, that I send another, the helper, to you. And so with that being the case, ultimately, again, because of the blood of Christ, we're not in that wrath anymore, because of the sacrifice that was made for us who are children of God. We're not in that wrath anymore. But people still grieve God, man, because ultimately at the end of the day, no different than they grieved him when they were totally flesh and carnal, when they were taking wives as many as they desired. You got people today who have named Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but are still doing all the things in which they desire. Now, I know that creates a whole new argument, But at the end of the day, yes, we still do get on God's nerves. People don't like that part, but it is the truth of the matter.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We welcome you to tonight's format. Hope you'll stay with us. Let's go here now. I want to go here. Darren Deed, I want to bring you in here. I mean, we have to know that we're doing wrong sometimes. Excuse me. And as such, why do we keep doing wrong? Why are we so, as some people would say, you know, parents might say when they got this little child that's just totally out of control, and then the auntie comes over, and I used to be one of those little kids, and auntie would say, why is your child, tell her sister, why is your child so bad? So, Darren Deedy, why are we so bad? Why are we act up?
We are so human, but, you know, we also have the devil that walks the earth. But looking up into the Bible, James 1:19-20, it does state that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, and because anger does not produce the righteousness of God, which he teaches us to love one another. I know it's sometimes it's harder than, you know, most days, but to bite your tongue and just speak kindness, that's all we can do. And I wish I could do that every day, but I do for the most part.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We got a lot to cover you all, and we're already almost halfway through the program. Pastor Rose, I want to bring you back in. Pastor Rose. So, Pastor Rose, we're created in the image and his likeness of God. So where does some of our – God, I'm not trying to get in trouble with you now. I'm just asking some questions here. Pastor Rose, where did some of this behavior come from? It's just almost like with parents. You know, when the child is acting up, the mother will say sometimes, this boy is just like his daddy. Well, why she married him to have a child by him? If he, you know, if she saw the man's behavior, didn't she have a clue that the seed might be the same or what? Pastor Rose, talk to me, please.
You know, you have choices, you know.
Start over, Pastor Rose, please. Go ahead.
Okay, you know, we have choices, and you reap what you sow. You know, if you sow a bad seed, you're going to reap it. You know, in Scripture, it was said, you know, the word was saying, you know, do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, you know. And you used the word agitation, you know, it agitated God. You know the story about Jonah. You know, God had told him to do something. He was stubborn. I ain't doing this and I ain't doing that, you know. But God, you know, moved upon him in the belly of the whale. You know, when that whale began to really put him through changes, but God showed mercy, and he got that when he was spit out the whale. I mean, he was burning rubber to go what God had, you know, called him to do, you know. So we have to be obedient. And the same thing with all this things that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I mean, we're not supposed to just stay there and tolerate all of this stuff that's going on and become partners with sin and stuff like that. God told them what to do, get out and don't look back. But what happened to, remember Lot's wife? She looked back. She was disobedient. She became a pillar of salt. So
right.
You're going to suffer the consequences of your actions. You got to be obedient
right.
to what the Spirit says unto the church. And within 3 seconds, you know, in Revelation when we go, he spoke to the seven churches. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. You know, if you're lukewarm, you know, God knows how to get you hot. So
right.
That's
thank
my thoughts
you.
On that and agitating God.
Thank you, Pastor Rose. I need this question answered, you all. Please, someone, we're created in his image, in his likeness. So the question is, where did some, like, the, I gave an analogy. The mother says, this child is just like his father. He's just like his father. And then, but she married him knowing that the man was bad, or we're talking about the character now, you know. So couldn't it be a possibility that the seed might be similar? So I need this question answered by someone. Darren Deedy, we want you to press 1 to come back into the queue. Sir Ben, let me take this over to you. So, Sir Ben, the specific question is, where did some of our behavior come from if we're created in the image or the likeness of God?
So let's go back to the beginning. Remember, God created Lucifer. Lucifer was the cherubic angel that was the covering over God. And look what happened to him. So if we want to go directly to it, there are some times that even in the course of creation, there was a defect that occurred. The defect is when we have our own free will. When you have your own free will, there is the premise, like I said earlier, Adam was made in the image, okay, the image of God. The ruach, the breath of life, was given to him to let him have life and to have ability. But we still all have the same choices that the angels had when Lucifer convinced them, hey, don't follow him, follow me. So in other words, the iniquitous spirit in Lucifer that came up also existed in man, because remember, he gave us everything that we needed, which means that the choice of obedience and disobedience was already embedded in us, and we had the ability to make the choice. Adam made a choice from his own solicus that allowed him to open up where we are now.
All right, Sir Ben, I want to go back just quickly here. We got a lot to cover you all, and we got to move fast, you all, please. So, Sir Ben, the question becomes now also, okay, we're still looking for the origin of this. So because Lucifer was not our parent. Lucifer was not our creator. So, but we're created in the image, the likeness of God. You know, so that mean that we picked up on a character of God, characteristics of God, that, you know, there's another side of God, the wrath of God, that, you know, could we have picked in on some of that genealogy? You know, so just quickly here, your thoughts on that?
Well, because we don't know the all of God, we only know a piece of what God is, because we couldn't handle that, which was all the Dadoc of God. We could not handle all of that. So in just my own personal belief, it was already embedded in us. And somehow Adam tapped into that. And so that's where we are now.
Okay,
remember,
Sir Ben.
He gave us everything we needed, including
right, that. We've got that. So, Sir Ben, let's go here now and talk about the other planets, the other worlds, where we might not call them human form that look like us, but I do believe that they're extraterrestrial beings that God created in other worlds on other planets. Now, having said that, and that's just my personal opinion, and we gave a disclaimer at the top of the hour. Those of you all that missed it, we respect all opinions, even if they're different on any of my shows. So, Sir Ben, having said that, let me ask you this question. So are those other beings, if you believe that there are other beings on other planets that may not be in human form as we are, but they're beings that exist, whether we call them extraterrestrial or not, do you think that they have free will, or what keeps sin from entering their world?
Well, there must be an amazing covenant that is have occurred with those other beings that have, you know, when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he had choices he could go. But the only place that he went was here on earth, which means that he is not there. He's not in those other worlds and other planets, because just like, remember the story of Job, when he asked him, hey, have you not considered my servant? He says, I've been going to and fro, and I have not been able to find anybody because you have such a covering over them. There's a covering on those other planets and other beings and other places that will not allow evil to permeate that, which is why when he said that when the end of the earth comes, sin will not rise again, which means every iniquitous spirit has to be destroyed. So therefore, it cannot be anywhere else. It means that he is only here because, just like Job, the other people, other planets, other things were already covered, and he could not go to them because of their own righteousness with God.
Okay, so now let me ask you this question here, Sir Ben. I'm going to stay with you just for a second. So if that's the case, then do those other worlds have free choice as the angels had, as we have down here? And so is it possible this covering keeps them from sinning? Is that what you're telling me?
The covering not only keeps them from sinning, but their free will and choice, because they understand who God is. They are omnipotent only to him, only to God. They are not omnipotent to anything else. Are they watching and observing some of the things that we're doing? Yes. But then it's like, I think of it as like a big, big arena, and they're cheering for us as humans. Hey, you guys can do it. Just keep going. Don't let him do what he did to the angels in heaven. Y'all keep going. Just keep starting. Keep going harder. Don't just trust God. That's all.
We already know because we did it. It works for us. We want y'all to be great, too. We want y'all to be in perfection, too. We want y'all to join us.
Right. So, Sir Ben, are they really cheering us on, or are we the test subjects? Or are they standing by and looking and saying, oh, no, we're not going to mess up. You all messed up. We're not. It's just like younger siblings, you know, the youngest sibling. They watch the old, if you can relate to this here, Sir Ben, share that with us. They watch the older siblings and say, I know what not to do because they got in trouble for doing those things, so I'm going to be better. Sir Ben, relate to that. So could they be twofold? If you understand that concept of being the youngest sibling and watching the older ones get in trouble, could those other worlds be out there saying, oh, no, we're not doing, don't mess up. Don't mess up. You see what they go through? They go through pain, suffering, and death. We don't want that here on our planet. So, Sir Ben, talk to me.
I believe that could possibly be one of the scenarios that's happening. And as a youngest in my family, there was a lot of things that I avoided, a lot of issues and things that my siblings did that I didn't get to do and didn't get to experience with my parents because I understood that don't work. And so I was able to float through life totally different than they were. I have a totally different lifestyle. My mind is clear and open because I was not indoctrinated by anybody. Because I was watching them become indoctrinated, I saw that that didn't work. So, yes, as the younger planets, whatever, they are witnessing that and going, we know that don't work. And so you call it test subject. I call it a trial for those who don't know. It's a trial. We're going through a trial. And there's other people going, that don't work. But okay, I'll keep trying it to see. And so I'm able to say things to them now as senior members of my family where they didn't listen to me before. Now they're looking back and going, why is that he has such a different life than us? We all had the same parents, same everything, same crazy, but he's so different. The difference is I acknowledge what you were going through. I acknowledged it and made a conscious free will to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat that fruit. I'm not willing
but, Sir Ben,
to eat
doesn't
that punishment.
Isn't it possible to bring resentment with your siblings? Because they look and say, how does he get away with this stuff? We didn't get away with that stuff.
Well, yeah, it brings resentment. And so you don't think Satan is resentful to the fact that he cannot ever have the glory of heaven again? Oh, yeah, he's very resentful, which is why he's so angry, which is why he's doing all the things he's doing, because he says, listen, I'm not going down by myself. Yep, I made a mistake. Yep, I didn't turn away from my ways, but I'm going to take as many as I can with me, which is what he's trying to do.
All right, Sir Ben, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We appreciate your commentary. Demas Lee, I want to bring you back in here. Pastor Todd, please stand by, because we're going to come back to you in just a second. Demas Lee, I want to bring you in here. Demon Slayer, so, I mean, we don't know how life is on those other planets with the other beings that God has also created. But we're dealing with humanity here. So, Demon Slayer, do we agitate God when we don't even get along with each other? Husbands and wives, divorce rate is out of control completely. So, Demon Slayer, are we agitating God because we're just changing wives and changing lives and just going around in circles like the children of Israel? Demon Slayer, talk to me quickly, please.
Well, it's just like we talked about last night about like getting on each other's nerves. Would you leave that the spouse of yours? And a lot of comments that came in said that, you know, I would leave him after a while. But suppose God was like that. Suppose God, suppose you got on God and he said, okay, forget about it. I'm just going to end him. Suppose he thought the way human form thought. So you got to give that into a lot of context, you know. So you got to be patient with people and let them go through what they have to go through, because nobody's perfect out here. So, like I said last night, you really love a person, you'll put up with them, because it's not the end of the world because they chew loud and stuff like that. Give them some dinner etiquette classes.
All right, sir. We're going to ask you to stand by, Demon Slayer. This name is not coming up in the queue. We're going to call the first six numbers out of your number. 704-603. Who do we have, and welcome to tonight's broadcast?
My phone went out on me, Dr. Walker. That's me, Pastor Rowe.
Okay, it's Pastor Rowe. Thank you, Pastor Rowe.
I got another phone.
Hey, cool. All right, thank you, Pastor Rowe. We're going to Pastor Todd, we want to bring you back in here now, Pastor Todd. And, I mean, there's a lot to cover, and we're past the halfway mark in the show. So now, Pastor Todd, recognizing that we just can't even get it right down. It seems like we just can't get it right down here. Does God expect perfection if we're agitating him and getting on his nerves and it already repented him to his heart that he created us? So how do you explain that?
Well, God doesn't expect perfection out of us because we cannot be perfected in the flesh. I think we all know that. But we are perfected in spirit in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, with that, we have to be obedient. Paul said something very interesting over in Romans chapter 7, 13 on down. He says, you know, he says, the things in which I desire to do are the things I don't do, and the things I want to do are the things I find myself not doing. What does he recognize in himself? And the same thing that we ought to recognize in ourselves. And that is that there's a law of sin in our flesh, and then there's a law of spirit in our mind. And Paul says, with my flesh I shall serve sin, but in my mind I will serve in the spirit of God. And so God's expectation of you and I is to serve him in spirit and truth. Remember over in John chapter 4 when he's dealing with the woman at the well? So, you know, I'm going to teach this lesson on Sunday, so y'all can have this one for free. So he tells the woman at the well, he deals with her. There's three major things happening in that instance. Number one, there is a false culture. Number two, there is legalism. And number three, there's tradition. And Jesus deals with all three of them by saying, for the Father, he says, there comes a time, and that time and now is, that when the true worshiper will worship God, they'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? Because the Father is spirit. So the legalism was the fact that the woman was married five times and the sixth man was not her husband, which lends us to believe that first and foremost that could be some other woman's husband or that may be a boyfriend. But five times by the law she should have been stoned and killed. The cultural problem there was man was not supposed to have a conversation with the woman. Then the tradition there was that there was supposed to be no relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews. Jesus quashed all of that. He quashes all that stuff that's going on by bringing us to a place of understanding of how we ought to enter into relationship with God, and that's in spirit and in truth. Y'all excuse the background noise. I'm a deputy sheriff. I'm on duty. And so that's how God desires us to be. And so we have to understand that in this flesh we're going to have trouble. It just is what it is because of the choice that was made through Adam and Eve. That was the choice that were made. But by the Spirit of God, who leads us in all truth and righteousness, who comforts, advocates, and teaches us all things, we just have to learn to submit ourselves to the will of God. And in that, because of that blood I just talked about earlier on the mercy seat, we are afforded entrance into eternal life. That's the only other way that it happens, man. And so, yes, we're going to be bad, and we're going to be rugged, and we're going to be all that stuff. That's because of the sinful nature that we're in. But remember, he says we have a high priest who was tempted and tried, but without sin, who has compassion on us. Therefore, we are afforded the mercy, the throne, I mean, access to the throne through grace, man. So, hey, man, praise God for grace.
Amen. All right, well, I'm certainly asking you to stand by. All right. Thank you so much for that. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here. Darren Deedy, so here we are. All right, we could possibly be grieving God. We're hurting him. We're even, I mean, just going through some stuff. So, Darren Deedy, are we supposed to stay in a marriage that's not even working? And it's in fact, it's abusive. Would God want you to stay there, or would it upset him, would it grieve him to his heart that you divorce? Darren Deedy, talk to me.
I don't think he would intend for you to stay in that kind of a situation, you know, being battered, and whether it be verbally or physically. Because we're talking about, you know, slow to anger. And it would be on the spousal's part, not necessarily the man or the woman, whoever's doing the abusing should be the one that's feeling the wrath, you know. Because you have to have self-respect, you know. And I really don't think God filled us with all this love to be trashed on, if I could use that word.
Okay, but Darren Deedy, you're saying that the one who's putting it out, you know, to the victim, they should be the one feeling the wrath. But that's not the one that's initially feeling the wrath. The one who's the perpetrator who's applying the bruises here, that's the person who's feeling the pain and the suffrage and stuff like that. But because some people,
right.
and maybe they look at Mosaic law or God's law, whichever one says that you don't divorce until unless it's adultery or until death do you part. So now what are you supposed to do? Be subjected to stand in an abusive relationship? Darren Dede, tell me, what do you think?
No.
Stay there and get your
do,
behind
we...
kicked all the time?
Yeah, no, no. I would never suggest that anybody stay in that kind of a situation. What I'm saying that with the anger that that spouse is putting on the other spouse would be feeling the wrath of God. And I really don't think the wrath of God would be falling on the person that decides to get out of that situation.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We certainly appreciate all comments. We are almost out of time, you all. Let's go here now. Shield of Faith, I want to bring you back in here. Pat Rose, stand by. Shield of Faith, I want to bring you in here. The God that we have been told about, we're told about a loving God, a caring God, a compassionate God. But we also talked about, I mean, we've discovered that there's a wrath of God that he doesn't play. So when we talk about, the question is leading up to our free will to make a choice. Do we really have a choice, you know, between heaven and hell, or is it going to be, if we want eternal life, it's got to be God's way, and that's the only way through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So talk to me here. Come on. Do we have free will? And if anybody in their right mind knows, if I had to make a choice, I want heaven as my home, eternal life, okay? But then you gave me free will, God. So, I mean, today I feel like I want to be bad because my parents were bad. It's my nature. I'm born in sin, shaped into iniquity. Talk to me, Shield of Faith.
Yes, God gives us free will, but he also gives us a way out when we are tempted. He says he will not give you anything that you can't, tolerate. So he's not going to tempt you past the point of what you can't escape. You can choose to not be tempted and not to give in to the temptation, just like God says he will give you a way out if you want to, or you can choose to go the fleshly way, which is what a lot of people do. But I just want to say that in Matthew 5:32, God created marriage as the perfect union between man and woman so they could raise a family. Now, God does not want you to stay in an abusive relationship, and I think we have to realize that divorce is not like the unpardonable sin. I mean, if you get a divorce because you are being abused, you know, God can forgive you for that. But God hates divorce, and the only reason he really accepts divorce is for sexual immorality.
That's the only way he accepts it? Is that what you're saying to me?
That's the only way that he, you know, let's say approves of it or, you know.
Okay, so
that,
if a woman is being abused by her husband, God hates
divorce.
What I just said was, yeah, because you're telling me two different things here.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, God does not want anybody to stay in an abusive relationship. Okay, so. So if you do divorce under those circumstances, that's not the unpardonable sin. God will forgive you for making that choice. And maybe you weren't supposed to marry that person in the first place. Were you following God's, you know, guidelines for you and God's, you know, direction for you when you married that person? I mean, there's so many factors to be involved in the abusive relationship that we don't necessarily discuss, but.
All right, so, okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sparkles, let's bring you back in here. Sparkles, are you with us, Sparkles?
Yes.
Okay, Sparkles, let me ask you this here. So, Sparkles, if this is the way that it goes, you know, I don't get it right with my spouse doesn't get it right with me, and it's just like, you know, after 3 years, it's like, I can't do this anymore. She's getting on my nerves, or he's getting on my nerves. So now, Sparkles, let me just go try it again, and I might try it seven times until I get, finally I got it seven times, and this is even like it might be the best thing. But now I'm in my 70s or 80s, and it's like, you know, I'm too old to go anywhere else now, and I've just settled. How does it work? Do we just keep on going around until we figure, this one here, she might do because, you know, I can't do nothing anyway, but I'm just here. Talk to me, Sparkles.
I would say that you have to pray.
Pray, Sparkles?
You have to pray. Earnestly seek God in the decision that you're wanting to make, getting into a relationship, marrying someone or whatever, you have to earnestly pray and seek God for the answer and the direction. Yeah,
okay.
You can go 5, 7, 8, 9 times, you know, and you didn't get it right this time. Let's try it again. I'll try something different or whatever. But I believe it starts with you on your knees and earnestly seeking God.
Okay. So, Sparkles, I have people that, you know, I see on different occasions that they're married 4 or 5 times now. And so they were praying for the initial one. They prayed for the second one. They prayed to get the right the third time. So, Sparkles, when you're saying pray, what's the difference in these people when they exercise prayer for 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5?
Well, I can't speak exactly for, you know, what another person's decisions and what they were doing, but along with praying to God, you also have to, in my opinion, that you have to take a deep dive into yourself.
All right.
To see what you're doing or, you know, what's going on with you, your thoughts or whatever, okay, that you're contributing maybe to the field relationship.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you back in here. Pastor Rob, please stand by. Pastor Roll, is it possible that we get it wrong when we thought we had it right? Sort of like Paul, you know, he, you know, that which he wants to do and blah, blah, blah. So is it possible we thought somebody taught us this way, but could they have gotten it wrong? Pastor Roll, talk to me quickly. 20 seconds or less, we're running out of time, please.
Okay, I agree with what Sister Sparkle said about prayer, you know. And the answer to, you know, getting your desires, I mean, it's clear in Scripture, you know, you look to the hills from whence cometh your help. You know, along with prayer, you got to be looking to God. That's where your help comes from. And the next thing I just wanted to say is there comes a time in your life, you know, where you have to shake the dust, you know, off your, you know, and before somebody get hurt, you know, God will speak to you, you know. But like Sister Sparkle say, you pray and you look to the hills, God will tell you what to do. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit, to lead, guide, and direct us. Just listen to that voice when you pray. Yes. Back to you, Dr. Warren.
Right. Thank you, Pastor Rowe. We're going to ask you to stand by. I want to go ahead and welcome Dee from Georgia. Dee from Georgia. Dee from Georgia, why aren't we, welcome to tonight's broadcast, why aren't we listening to he that hath an ear, let him hear? What are we supposed to be listening for?
We just individually have our own spirit, and there are lessons we as individuals are supposed to learn. And as you said about other people or doing what other people say, their lessons may not be fit for us in that way, but he will continue to allow us to go through things until we get it. We just have to learn in our lessons, in our studying, in our quest and our journey to be closer to God, to understand how to listen to our spirit, how to recognize our spirit and be obedient to it.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Dee from Georgia. Pastor Todd, we're running out of time. Just 20 seconds or less, just quickly here. Pastor Todd, we have hundreds of denominations out there, but we have one creator. So how is it, so how do we expect that somebody got it right and somebody, obviously, several people obviously got it wrong, because we're looking at all these different denominations, but we're looking at a God who's organized that can keep the planets and the galaxies and the asteroids from colliding into themselves, each other, and coming down here on planet 8 through the centrifugal force. So are we just, I mean, I could, we, any of us can come up with our own dogma, our structure, and say this is what you're supposed to do to be worshiping God. So are we really following God, or are we following man? Speak to me.
Well, real quickly, a lot of our denominations is separatism and classism, because people don't want to submit to one another. A lot of those, a lot of the religions in which have been formulated is because, again, no one wants to submit to the other. Everybody wants to have their own position, their own control, their own kingdom. It's just kind of crazy, but we know what the Lord says. God says that the only religion that he acknowledges is the religion of taking care of widows and orphans. Now, with that being the case, I'm not knocking down all these different religions. I'm just simply saying in a nutshell that God is not recognizing the religion. God is recognizing his relationship with us individually, and he's recognizing if we're serving him in spirit and truth. The religious aspect is almost like a bone that God's going to spit out. So I'll just give you that in 20 seconds or less.
Thank you so much for that. We're going to go, once again, we're almost out of time.
Even
let's
though
go
the
to,
Bible clearly, and I'm just learning.
All right, we're going to go to 857-615, but you got some noise in your background. You press 1, so we think that you might want to say something. 857-615, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Who do we have with us?
He has a doctor within education, not as a pastor.
All right, apparently they're just listening in. They've got noise in their background. We certainly do appreciate them. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here just 15 seconds or less, Sir Ben. And now we're, you know, why aren't we listening to God? Because, you know, like, I try to live my life, and this is just me, you all, and I'm not trying to influence or persuade anybody else. You know, I look at the Ten Commandments, the first four, our relationship with God, next six, my relationship with humanity. So that's how I try to live my life. I don't get it right all the time, and maybe I don't get it right most of the time. But the fact of the matter is I'm trying, and it's a struggle, and sometimes, you know, it's like my nature is a certain way. So, Sir Ben, my question to you becomes, you know, when we're trying to do the best we can here, yet we look at David, who was considered a man after God's own heart. And see, the ladies may not fully understand certain things about the nature of a man, just like man cannot fully understand the nature of a woman. So when David saw eyes on Bathsheba, have mercies, Holy Ghost. So now how could that he possibly have resisted her? Sir
well,
Ben, talk to me.
He couldn't. And so let's go back to just in 2 seconds. David was out of position. David was not in order. David was a king. He should have been on the battlefields with his soldiers fighting. So he was out of order, out of position, which allowed himself to be in the wrong position to see and experience Bathsheba the way to receive her in the way that he saw her. He was not supposed to be there. Now, getting back to the original question, we are all on a journey. Every one of us are on an individual journey. And I like to always remind people of this. Jesus wasn't hanging out with the preachers, the bishops, the deacons, the elders. He was with the everyday common man, the jokers, the fishermen, the cheaters, the liars, all of them. That's who he was walking around with, and those are the people that he was engaged with, which tells me that it is not the title that makes you that gives you righteousness. It's your heart and your desire to stay on the journey. Those 12 stayed on the journey with Jesus, and that tells me that Jesus wants us to let our light shine while we're on the journey. It doesn't matter who he puts in front of us. What he wants us to do is see them in love like he sees them in love and realize that all of us need Jesus, not some of us, a person. We all need Jesus. And therefore, if we look at each other the way that Jesus looks at us, we will have a total different response to people who don't look like us, don't act like us, and don't talk like us. That comes down to three things. You have either great faith, you have little faith or no faith at all. And so you have to decide where you are. And however you are is how you're going to respond. And how you're going to respond is going to be the same response that Jesus responds to you.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by here. We've still got a lot to cover, you all, and we're closing out in about 3.5 minutes. Sir Ben, if you've got time, we'll bring it back to you to close us out in about 3.5 minutes. You want to do that?
I do, sir.
All right, do we agitate God's spirit or heart in our sinful lifestyles? That's the topic tonight. He'll close us out on that in about 3 minutes. Let me go here. Now, Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here quickly, Demon Slayer, quickly here. Demon Slayer, I'm still trying to figure out why don't we listen to the spirit of God? Why don't we listen? You know, because, I mean, if we listen, you know, and first let me begin asking this question, Demon Slayer. Is the God of the Old Testament the same as the God of the New Testament? Demon Slayer, tell me that answer, your opinion.
They're both the same, just two different testaments, that's all. I mean, you get on somebody's nerves, you have to take God. And of course he gets on his nerves, just like in human form, you know, but he's got more patience to make for you to get everything right in your life. So it's up to you to choose him.
Okay, so Demon Slayer, does God change his mind? Does he change his mind, Demon Slayer, in your opinion?
No, he don't change your mind. You have to change your mind. He don't. Why do he need to change? Because of the sinful that you're going through. He's the same.
Okay, so when it came to his Ten Commandments, did he alter his Ten Commandments, or were they fulfilled when Jesus Christ came, and now we're no longer under the law, we're under grace? What is it, in your opinion?
It's still the Ten Commandments. It depends on how you perceive the Ten Commandments. Just like we was talking about adultery and everything, and he say for better or for worse, and a lot of people say about abuse. So you should leave the husband or the spouse that's abusing you. But it don't say anything like that in the Ten Commandments. It just says don't commit adultery, and you got to stick by your covenant and your vows to the Lord. So it's a very tricky subject that you can talk about.
Okay, does he still expect us to be under the Ten Commandments? Does he? Like the New Ten Commandments gives you two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and the neighbor as thyself. So that's based on the Ten Commandments. So what do we do?
You stick by the Ten Commandments. It's not no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It's just the Ten Commandments.
Okay, but we're not even listening to the Ten Commandments, because if he hasn't changed his mind, and then we say we're going to ask you to stand by. Shield of Faith, I want to bring you back in here. Shield of Faith, and this question will go to you real quickly here. So if we were listening, if it's the same God as the Old Testament, as the New Testament, and he hasn't changed, and he doesn't change his mind, and he's all-knowing, he's everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, then why is it that even the fourth commandment that says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we're doing more of the things that seems like man has instructed us to do, because somebody told us this was it. Now, you know, Scripture tells us that God, you know, Jesus died on a Friday. He rested on a Saturday, and he rose on a Sunday morning, and they call that Easter Sunday now, and they believe that that's when you're supposed to go to church. So where does the Sabbath fall in with all of that? Shield of Faith, talk to me, please. And that's the only Scripture that says remember the fourth commandment.
Well, I mean, I think that it's important to look at the New Testament and Jesus' blood, how, you know, that changed things. He did rise on the Sunday, and the early church met every Sunday. The day of Pentecost, when thousands of people were saved and the early church began, was on Sunday. But I don't think that remembering the Sabbath and worshiping on Saturday is wrong, but I think it's how you you can't judge other people that worship on Sunday.
Because,
not at all. You know, God sees your heart, and he knows your heart and where you are. And so I think that you have to take the New Testament in context with the Old Testament as well. Of course, we should follow the Old Testament, you know, the Ten Commandments, but we also should go under the New Testament as well, with the two that says, love Lord your God with all your heart, your neighbor as yourself, which is encompasses commandments.
We're out of time, you all. We got to bring Sir Ben in to close us out. But I still say we're not listening. We're just not listening. Sir Ben, bring it to close us out here. Do we agitate God's spirit or his heart in our sinful ways? Because some are saying, you know, that he doesn't change. He's the same as the Old Testament, New Testament. You know, and so are we justifying it are we really following God, or are we following man? Sir Ben, close us out, because we're agitating God's spirit and his heart in our sinful lifestyle. Sir Ben.
We don't want to agitating man. We don't want to agitating woman. We don't want to agitating job. We don't want agitating children. We don't want agitating anything. So why do we want to agitate the one who made us, who created us, who loved us, who gave us so many chances over and over and over again? Why would we want to agitate God when he wants only the best for us? He wants to give the best to us. Why? Why is always a question that has been plagued since the beginning of time. Adam, why did you eat the fruit? Eve, why did you take the fruit? Why did you do this? Why? That is the plaguing thought for us all. Why? Why are we not kind? Why are we not loving? Why are we not peaceful? Why are we not embracing each other? Because God said, love one another. That's a commandment that he gave us. Why? Well, Why is the main question as to why some of us are going to make it and some of us are not. We have unlimited freedom to choose who we want to serve. Do we want to serve man? Do we want to serve God? Or do we want to be self-serving? That is still a question that we have to answer. Why? Do we want to have faith? Do we want to have no faith? Do we want to have little faith? Do we want to have great faith? Why? I can give you 100,000 commandments to keep. And guess what? You might be able to keep them all. And if you keep them all but your heart is not right, what good was it? How many of us are keeping the commandments but our heart's not right? We don't love our brothers and sisters. We won't be good to those who need help. We won't help our fellow man. We won't treat each other with love and kindness. We don't see each other as this is a child of God. We see each other as red, yellow, black, and white, different, tall, short, fat, tall, every other thing except what God has asked us to treat him and see each other as. Why is the question? Well, the answer remains for God. When God comes and judgment day comes to all of us, the why would be the question that we will answer. And all we can do is either say, yes, Lord, why you gave me those opportunities to love somebody I did, to help somebody I did, to be kind to somebody I did, why you gave me the chance to be a better person, to walk in love, to love others, why did you give me that chance? Because you are God and you love me, and that's what you deposited into me. And so that why will be answered. Just like the why is going to be answered, well, I didn't have to do that. I did this, I did that, I did that for you. I did this, I did all these things in your name. So why am I not making it to heaven? The why is because of the I. You put more emphasis on the I than you did on me. It's okay to praise man, but the glory goes to God. And so you were trying to get the glory, not me. That's why. So as we walk through our lives, we go on our journey, remember something more important. Don't worry about all the other things of this world. Don't worry about all the commandments and the religious practices that we do. First, get your heart right and settle in with God. Second, work on your character, because that's the only thing that you're going to take to heaven with you. And third, strengthen your spirit, because your spirit is going to allow you to go through some of the trials and tribulations like a soldier, standing firm, because you got the full armor of God. And as you go on your journey, don't worry about the negative things that is coming. Don't worry about your negative experiences. Don't worry about what you're still doing, because God said the closer you get to me, those things are going to start to fall off. The smoking, the drugs, the thoughts, the craziness that you have, as you get closer to me, it's going to fall off a little bit at a time. I don't expect you to be perfected, but I am perfecting you every day and each new day. Every Amen. Day brings a new person. If you're not new every day, you're stuck. If you're stuck, how can God really help you? Because he wants you to walk. He said, in him I move, I live, and have my very being. In him we move,
All right.
we live, we have our very being. So with that being said, remember, get your heart right and aligned with God. Allow him to work in your character and strengthen your spirit and go forth into a great life. Thank you and good night.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. We want to thank all of you all for joining us. Pastor Todd, we certainly appreciate you joining us tonight. Tonight's program. We will be back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you choose Bypass, next Thursday show, we'll be back here next Friday for your one-hour inspiration program. And until next Thursday or until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone. That was a mind-blowing closing.
Great closing. And thank you all. God bless you all. Love you all. Thank you.
Great comments, Demon Slayer. Great comments, Demon Slayer.
Let me go.
Did you pass it, bro? God bless you, Marjorie.
Be safe.